You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 401, entitled Interview with Krista Irving from Miss Muskoka Landscapes. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, comments, and feedback that you guys send through each and every week. Just a quick note, if you guys are interested in coming on to the show and being a guest, there's still time here for this winter interview series. You can reach out to me by heading on to my website, lawncarebusinesssuccess.com. Go to that contact page and send me a email through there. If you follow me on Instagram, you can send me a DM. And alternatively, if you look in the podcast show notes in your podcast player, there will be a link to send me a voicemail message, and you can do that as well. So without further ado, I want to welcome Krista Irving to the show. Hey, Krista, how's it going?
It's going okay. Glad to be here. Glad to talk to you.
That's awesome. Excuse me. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. I really appreciate you being a willing participant. As I mentioned to you, sort of off recording, it's nice having the opportunity to get a female perspective from somebody who's running a business in this industry. So that's awesome. So without further ado, let's just dive right into it. So maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Okay, so I started my business about 3.5 years ago. It actually was a decision when I was coming off maternity leave from my second child.
Okay.
I was originally working in physiotherapy as an assistant.
Okay.
Planning on going back to school, got accepted, and then changed my course. I truly enjoy it. Talking to everybody else in the industry around me. My brother owns his own company, and he was like, yeah, just do it. If you want to, I'll help you. I mostly do a lot of softscaping, not a lot of hardscaping, just because it's only me.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So did you have, interesting that you're talking about the physiotherapy side and stuff. That's actually what my daughter is going to university for currently. So interesting to see that sort of side. Did you have any experience? Like, what was it about, like, landscaping and lawn care and stuff that made you decide to go in that direction?
So I grew up on the golf course. I actually went to school on a golf scholarship.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I grew up, I worked there in order to play at like some of the top courses around me. And then while I was going to school, I worked in nurseries when I came home for the summer because they just needed hires all the time. And I had a short season in the summer when I was home to work. And I've just always been interested in plants and gardening and just developing like landscape for people to enjoy. And then I just see it in a different way, I think.
Oh, very cool. That sounds like a kind of an interesting transition, but also a natural transition to think that you're out on these golf courses and enjoying nature in a different perspective, and then kind of moving towards that direction of being the one maintaining and installing those types of things.
Yeah, but I can tell you one thing, seeing grass all the time, I developed that that wasn't going to be part of my business plan after the first year. So I passed that on to other people in the industry near me, of the grass cutting.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So you started out your first season as doing lawn cutting?
Yeah, I did, but it was very time consuming and I had hardly any time for gardens and installs.
Ah, very interesting. So, looking at that part of it, there was obviously a large demand from your clients to do the gardening portion of it.
Yeah, so as soon as I started, I got one big job for a couple garden installs, and then the neighbor wanted it, and then the next neighbor wanted it, and then the next neighbor wanted it. So it was just like add on, and it takes about like 3 days by yourself for certain ones. Like I got it down to like a science now almost, to install gardens a certain way. But none of my gardens look the same.
Okay, very cool. So I noticed going, I think it was through your, might have been your Instagram or your, no, sorry, it was the website, and noticing that you had some photos of properties, but each had like a unique name for the particular property, sort of like its own identity. Is that something that you like came up with just for the website, or is that just generally how you see the properties?
So some of the properties are automatically they're named that way because they are high-end rental.
Oh, okay.
And then I just started it, and then I saw it, and I was like, "That looks good on a website." Still developing names for a couple other properties. I just redid my website, so there's still a little bit more to do, some more pictures, but I want to find the right pictures to put up because some of them are just quick pics just to say, "Hey, I was there." But it's coming along. I should probably hire it out, I'm not gonna lie, for somebody else to do the website, but I like doing it.
Yeah, it's I do my own website as well. It's always I don't know, it's kind of neat to being able to control that and change it whenever you need quickly without having to, call somebody and arrange or send photos or all that sort of stuff to be able to kind of have that whole aspect under your belt as well. So 3 years in is I was going to say lawn care business, but landscaping business is that your main income now?
Yeah, I fully just decided to put both feet in when I started it. And my idea when I started it was I only needed about 3 days worth of work to make as much as I was working at my other job.
Oh, very nice. That's
Yeah.
that's a
It comes back to being in the science.
yeah. So, and I guess that would help too, as well, being a mother as well, to have time to be able to dedicate to your kids.
Yeah, it didn't end up. I was full like within 3 weeks. So it didn't end up that way.
Didn't end up that way. So obviously, just a major demand. So how would you, because it's interesting, most, I would say probably 90% of people who start out in doing lawn care, wouldn't like, they don't want to touch the gardens. They don't want to do any of that stuff. So what was it, about the, were you just naturally just more interested in doing the gardens, than the lawn care part?
Well, I worked about a day with my brother, and he's strictly lawns. And it is time consuming. I didn't see me doing that for long. Like I'll do it because people usually when they want their garden, they want their lawns, and they don't want to have two different companies to bill out. But I love flowers. My dad growing up, he did our gardens at our house. And he won a bunch of awards and everything. So I learned from him a lot of things about perennials in the area, on top of working in the nursery. And it's just nice to see gardens grow. Like they just fill out, and it's just, I don't know, it just takes your breath away if you do it right. And yeah, I just wanted other people to enjoy that.
Very cool. So, is it, it seems like it's kind of, does your brother like for his business doing, so you say he just does lawn, so he doesn't do any of the gardening and stuff like that. So is it kind of like a, almost like a, sounds like almost like a symbiotic relationship between you and your brother to be able to handle those two different aspects?
Yeah, it is. He's older than me, so he's definitely helped me out. He's the one that was like right behind me, like, "Yeah, just do it. You got this." Whereas like other people were like, "Are you sure? Like this is a different path. are you positive? Him and my husband were like, yeah, just do it. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome to have that type of support.
Yeah. And he still helps me. I come to him with lots of questions. He's been in the business for 10 years.
Nice.
So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
So you raised an interesting comment that you said you're married. And you were mentioning before we were recording too, because I was asking you for your information and stuff. So the company name, how did you come up with Miss Muskoka Landscapes?
Well, putting landscapes with a lot of female names does not look great. they turn into other things. Just think about it.
Yeah.
We have a boat in our town, and it's called Lady Muskoka. So I couldn't take Lady Muskoka, which is originally in my head was the first thing that popped to. And Mrs. Muskoka, I gotta say, like, it's the people like, how do I say it in the right way? Men don't respond to Mrs. as much as Miss in the marketing.
Okay.
There's also a Mr. Muskoka, and I didn't want to be associated with another company. I have no idea what he actually does. I just know he does a lot of snow removal in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it popped up on like Google and that.
Okay.
Pretty much at the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. Yeah. It has a nice ring to it versus like if you were to Mrs. Muskoka, Miss just kind of flows a lot better as well.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. So you mentioned that you're a solo operator. Do you have plans for hiring employees?
I do, but that's about a 5-year plan. I'm waiting also till my girls get old enough that I don't have to like take off. Because my husband and I, we do rotate who takes off if a kid gets sick and kid do get sick. And I just don't have the bandwidth right now to deal with employees and do more of the paperwork side of it on top. I do enjoy being out there, gaining knowledge, talking to clients and everything. And my jump would be about 5 people to make it worth it, just talking to other people in the area.
Okay.
When you get 1 or 2, you kind of have to still be there. Whereas if you have 5, you could have like somebody that you kind of take an end of your wing that can lead them, and then the rest kind of follow and do the other stuff. So you only have to fully communicate to the one person, and then they kind of let it down and they're like your right hand man.
Yeah, yeah.
Woman.
Yeah, yeah, very, very great points there. So with being in business now for 3 seasons, just kind of doing the quick kind of math and kind of thinking back, does that mean you started your business during the pandemic, or was it just before or just after?
Just before. I started in September, which is usually going into a slow season. But having my brother and having other people I knew in the industry, they kind of passed jobs along that they couldn't take.
Okay. So how was that? Because that must have been pretty scary to go and, you know, be very, you know, optimistic and all that sort of stuff the September. And then, you know, the following spring, you know, the poop hits the fan literally across the world and things are going crazy. Did you have any sort of second thoughts, or were you any concerns with that?
I actually didn't. I was so booked up even over the winter. People just called and I started booking them and going in when everything hit. I was fine. I was a saver before, so if anything did happen, it didn't really matter in my mind. I also having a second income from somebody, from my husband, I knew we could live off that if need be. And his job turned totally online. They didn't really stop, so I didn't.
Okay.
And it's, I think I was lucky in that way. And then also just the town we're in, it was just, it was different, I think, than being in like a big city.
Yeah, very interesting. It sounds pretty similar to me. I've been always a solo operator as well. And when the pandemic kind of hit and they're telling people to isolate and social distance and all that, I'm like, that's my life. That's what I do every day. I've been socially distancing every day at work. I'm always by myself, keeping to myself. So it wasn't a hard transition.
We just throw in the AirPods and we listen to podcasts and music and we're like, nobody's around us anyways.
Yeah. So it worked in that respect. I'm curious with your running the business as a mom with young kids. Are they in elementary school or in high school?
Yeah, they're both in kindergarten. So senior kindergarten and junior kindergarten. Yeah, they're young.
Very, very young. So how do you balance? Yeah. How do you balance that? Because I know when we were kind of arranging to do this podcast, you're like, as long as it's during the day while my kids are in school, sort of thing. And that totally was something familiar to me because my wife has a full time job as well, but she works in a different city, so she has a long commute every day. So it was me that was taking the kids to school every day, and I would pick them up the school that they were at. They were done at like 2:15 in the afternoon. I would drop them off at 9 in the morning, and then I'd go mow lawns. I would skip, no lunches or anything, just to get more lawns done, and then I'd have to be finished by 2 o'clock at the latest, if it was like a nearby, the school, so I could pick them up. And then I was done for the day. And, I did that for many, many years, all through, their like elementary school and stuff. So have you had to make any sort of, cause you said your husband has a job as well. So is it sort of similar with how you have to do it, or do you have like after school care for them or?
So no, during the winter I take it on unless I'm out clearing snow, and I'm full on, take them to the bus, I take them off the bus, but in the summer, or in the spring, it's my husband's job, so we kind of rotate. He just had to tell his employer that he needed to get off at this time, and he can do some of his job from strictly the phone.
Oh, okay.
So it's worked out that, and I also have all 4 grandparents are close by if we need them. Although mine are away, taking a break.
Oh, okay.
But I've really lucked out. And then, like I said, like my brother and his family are in town, so he's more than willing if I need. Hey, I'm going to be 10 minutes behind the bus. Can you swing over and grab my girls?
Yeah. That's awesome. It takes a village, they say sometimes, to be able to do something like that, especially with both of them being so young. That's quite the handful.
I definitely lucked out with my village.
Yeah. That's awesome. Early on, before I started doing lawn care full time, I had a regular job as well. We were in similar situation. My kids were actually going to school in the same city that my wife worked in, because that's where our parents are both from. Both sets of parents live nearby each other as well. So we had when they were in like kindergarten, grade one, I think up to grade two with my daughter. It was relying on that village of the grandparents and stuff helping out and picking them up from school and stuff like that too. So definitely relate with you on that. So this next question is probably one of my favorite ones to ask people. And it's because every time I ask somebody who is self-employed, a business owner, I always get a different answer to the question. But when I ask somebody who is an employee, the answer is typically always about the same. So the question for you, Krista, is how would you define success?
Success to me is happiness. If I'm not happy doing it, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Simple and to the point.
I learned that that's why this industry, because I wasn't happy in my certain situation and I figured out what it was, and this makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's awesome. It's very similar to me as well. A lot of these, a lot of the industry that we work in, particularly lawn care, landscaping, all that sort of stuff. I always say that I love it because you can make it whatever you want. You can make it fit whoever you are. For me, that means, I love the lawn care side of it. Residential lawn care, especially because I'm in and out, onto the next property. And for me, my attention span is almost nil. Like I can't stay to do a 3-day project, like you're talking about in gardens and stuff. Like I'm going crazy if I'm there over a couple hours. So for me, it's like, I love the quick reward of mowing lawn, doing the edges, all that sort of stuff, and then taking a couple photos and then off to the next one and doing it all over again. It's one of those things to be able to kind of follow your heart and, do what makes you happy, whatever that means. Very cool. So to give people sort of an idea, is there sort of like a typical size property that you maintain, or does it not matter? Or is there a target type of a property or client that you're after?
So my clients usually go into the elderly women, which I'm usually only do in town. They're 2 to 3 hour properties, everything from weeding to trimming to doing their planters, their potters. And then I have high-end rentals, which are on the lake, which usually take about 6 hours. And then I'll have something close by that takes another hour just to balance it. Mm-hmm. And then I do mostly business owners. I found a niche with them. So I do their home and their small space office.
Oh, okay.
They're outdoors there. So it's been working like that. And I don't know how I fell into it, but I found those people and they work for me. I would enjoy a 8-hour property if it was on an island, and which is what I would love to get in, is a full service, everything. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think I would bring in more. I would bring in employees, because being on an island, you want to go there once, get everything done and come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have a lot of big properties on islands that more people are moving up here and they want full service.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. So you mentioned doing these installs and stuff like that. So is that strictly what you're doing, or are you also is there a weekly or bi-weekly type of a schedule or something with the clients? Are you going back to maintain them each week? How does that work?
Yeah, most of my installs turn into bi-weekly maintenance, which I put gardens on bi-weekly maintenance. A couple of them I will put weekly, depending on what they need. But that way, if we get rained out or anything, I'm not strict to that schedule. It's just like lawns, right? Mm-hmm. That was my problem. Weekly, you had to be on. You got rained out. We could get rain for 3 days, and then some of the lawns would be so wet you couldn't cut them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and they're way too long that you get clumps and you got to double cut. So it was very time consuming in that sense. So I couldn't focus also on gardens. But I try with a bi-weekly. I don't like monthly. I find when I get there, I have just as much as much work, and sometimes I couldn't get it done in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of these properties could be 45 minutes away, if they're a big property, which is worth my time when I'm there all day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm there and I have 2 hours left and I have to come and go back, mm-hmm. because daylight disappears, it just wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You got to kind of factor that all in, and I'm sure you're doing that as well with your quoting and all that to compensate for that travel time and for those types of longer projects. it's always difficult and tricky to kind of figure out pricing and stuff like that when you're doing that. But over time and, you know, experience and stuff, you start to be able to zero in on a formula that works for you. So with these, the weekly visits and the biweekly visits sounds very similar to me here in the Pacific Northwest, Vancouver, you know, Canada area. That's why over the years I transitioned to only weekly maintenance for all clients. You know, I still get, it's like the only option that I have for people. And yet still people will, just yesterday, you know, starting to get quotes or requests for quotes coming in, and people, you know, putting in like the little note section of a request a quote. And they're saying, you know, do you offer biweekly and stuff? You know, I have to explain like, no. Don't do biweekly. It's just too difficult with the rain and stuff that we get here constantly, you know, to be able to mow lawns and have to wait 2 weeks to mow a lawn when, you know, possibly the previous week it was nice and sunny and dry, but you weren't on the schedule. And then, you know, the next week now it's pouring rain and, you know, it just doesn't work. So it sounds very similar, regardless of, you know, whether not being lawn cutting, that with the gardening side, that you're finding sort of that same instance that you need to have to do weekly, and that works best for you. So
yeah, and I find if you're just transparent with the client, they understand when you explain it, and the clients that don't understand, you don't really want them as clients.
Yeah. That's right on with the lawn cutting part of it too. I find you know, once I sort of explain it and why I don't do the weekly, and then they get it, then they understand. And those that don't, they're typically just looking at, you know, the only reason somebody wouldn't want a weekly lawn cut or weekly garden maintenance is to save money. And those are the type of clients that I don't want, right? It's, you know, cut and dry, right? Because, they're going to be always looking for, cost savings. So do you offer any other services, besides, like the installs and maintenance? Like, do you do any other things like maybe power washing or window cleaning as part of like the maintenance of those landscapes?
I do power washing. Usually it's in the spring. So it's my current clientele that I'll do power washing for. So I know the size, I know how long it takes. I usually typically do it after I do all their mulch or if I put new soil in. That way it's all clean, all tidy, everything's good. I don't do window washing. We have a couple of great companies in my area that I just pass that along to. And I can connect them. And usually if we use each other's names, we're good to go. They usually take them on. It's about just building that network with everybody has a specialty in around me. Okay. So we just utilize that area.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So you mentioned that you do a little bit of commercial work. Sounds like mostly residential work. With that commercial work, it sounds like it's a bit different than what most people would consider in terms of, like, say, for example, like lawn cutting sort of thing. You seemed like you were mentioning that you're focused more on doing business owners like homes, but then also sort of doing their you know, small, like maybe commercial properties for the maintenance as well. You're not like focused on doing just like a strip mall or something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, no. So a lot of the ones I do, we have like in Gravenhurst, that's a town over, like 15 minutes for me to drive to. There's a wharf. So it's like a big boardwalk, and like I have a couple customers on that I do, and they just want it to look nice and tidy. And then if I see something that needs to be added, like a plant that needs to be added, I just do it.
Oh, okay. So it sounds very, yeah. Like I said, very niche that you kind of fell into that and found that it's working out well for you.
Yeah, and I'm glad it found me.
Yeah. Yeah, because it sounds very neat, because like most of the, you know, I've talked so much on the podcast with other people about, you know, the balance between doing residential and commercial and what people prefer and stuff, and sort of the pitfalls and stuff But, you know, it all, like I said, it always seems to be, you know, people doing things like banks and, you know, strip malls and things like that. And that's where the sort of negative aspects come up because, you know, there's not really that personal relationship there with the client. It's just, hey, you need to get this done and whatever the cheapest price is and get it done. But it sounds like because you're doing both these smaller businesses, maybe like boutique type places or little things like that, you're also doing their home properties and stuff that it's based on sort of that personal relationship.
Yeah, it's definitely based on the personal relationship. I found once I did their business, I went to their home. They said, oh, do you want to do my house too? And I was like, sure.
Okay.
Because we already developed that relationship. They were nice. I knew I could trust them in that sense. And then, yeah, they just let me go.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, it's a very interesting niche that hasn't been explored too often here on the podcast. So it's cool to hear, you know, your perspective of doing commercial properties and that sort of sense of doing sort of the smaller niche type properties. So this next question is probably the one that gives people the most pause for thought. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you the question, but then I'll take a break for the podcast sponsor. I'll give you some time to think about it, and then we'll get back with your answer. So the question is, share a time you struggled in your business and tell us what you learned or did to overcome it. So we'll get back with your answer right after this. So stay tuned.
Choosing the right equipment also means getting service and support you can trust. Hi, it's Michelle with the XSmart Customer Service Team. We are committed to giving you the expert technical support necessary to keep your equipment performing at its best. Reach us by phone, email, or social media on any weekday, and we will respond quickly with advice you can trust because it comes straight from the folks who built your machines. Visit XSmart.com to learn about XSmart's industry-leading service and parts support.
All right. So, Krista, share a time you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it.
So my struggle is definitely, it's still an ongoing thing. It's confidence. Okay. It's from either, going into buy equipment. So I always saw like big dealers as kind of intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, it's a bunch of guys. And they just stare at you. I'm not going to lie. They just stare. They're like, okay. I got over that when I made my big first purchase, which was my New Holland tractor.
Mm-hmm.
I went to probably 10 different dealers until I got comfortable. And that was from asking questions and seeing how they reacted to me and talking to other people about how they dealt with the dealerships, and then also just pricing things out because I had no idea what to do. Even with cars now, buying new trucks and that, I feel confident that I just take the lead even on our personal vehicles.
Nice.
Just talking to them and that, which was a step, because growing up, you always saw like the women, they took a step back to like anything financially, I found. And then I was like, I'm not going to be like that. So just confidence going in, buying equipment, and then also just talking to clients, talking to mostly men. They are a little standoffish when I show up on site with any equipment. They're like, oh, you're doing it, because they don't actually look, their wife usually hires.
Okay.
They're like, oh yeah, I found somebody. And they don't question it, and then they look at me and they're like, and they'll stare at me for about an hour and then go, oh, okay, you're doing a great job, and then go back in. But yeah, it's definitely confidence. And I'm still working on it, and finally finding the balance of not being too overconfident. That's a little standoffish, and just being like confident enough that I'm like, no, I know what I'm doing, you can relax.
So did you find that as like a typical problem? Was it like every dealer that you went to was sort of the same, or did you find some that were more respective or respectful and receptive to you, you know, coming in and basically, you know, treating you more as like an equal?
Yeah, so I went to one dealer that's used by a lot of people in my town. And they were kind of just, no, this is the way it is. They didn't really talk to me. They gave me a piece of paper and basically almost pushed me out, like, no, you're not serious. Whereas my current dealer, Macaulay, he's amazing. I can text him, like, over Christmas I had a breakdown. I need a piece of equipment that I couldn't find in town. I texted him the night of Christmas, and he went in, found the part, and said, hey, I have it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was looking for. And just how I came in, he was just more laid back, and he's like, yeah, let's walk through this all, because I was just learning.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool to find, you know, a dealer that is, you know, receptive to that and you know, understands that, you know, there's not really any other difference other than you're basically just starting out like every other guy that starts out a business and knows absolutely nothing when they're starting. You know, being able to help you and walk you through, you know, things like that and repairs and stuff. Do you do a lot of the repairs yourself, or was that just like because of, you know, an emergency sort of situation?
I've been learning a lot more. Luckily, on my street, there's three mechanics. I got one that works for a big company in town. He helped me out. And then my neighbor is actually a small engine. So I sit in his garage and he shows me different things and it's great.
That's awesome.
I definitely lucked out on that aspect too.
Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah. It's neat to find, when you find people like that, that you can have in your corner. I know, you know, it's a bit of a challenge from the females that I have talked to in the industry. All sort of seem to face that same thing. I know I've talked to Abby Frost from Hannah Grace Gardens. She's local to me here, and you know, she's had some of those challenges as well. But she's also found great dealers like Carl's Mower and Saw there in Ferndale, Washington, that she uses a lot. And I got to go and visit their new location just before Christmas, and they, you know, were very friendly and stuff, and you know, kind of just, you know, were introducing themselves and stuff. And I said, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, driving through, I'm actually, you know, I live in Canada and stuff, but I keep seeing you guys on Instagram from you know, Hannah Grace Gardens, and they were just over the moon and telling me like how awesome she is and stuff like that. So it's awesome when you see dealers like that that are you know, get it and understand that there's no difference between a male and a female, that you know, they're just all business owners doing what they can to get by and to learn and from that aspect. So that's awesome. Did you find with those challenges, and you said you're still kind of working through them, what helped you build the confidence with that?
Actually, it was probably other companies, other landscape companies in the area. A lot of the guys I grew up with, they're older than me. So I'm like a little sister, I guess, to them. Okay. As well. So not only do I have my brother, I have a couple other guys. And they just kind of said, talk to me, and I would talk to them about how their pricing was on their equipment. Mm-hmm. So I could get a general idea, and we're all just in it to help each other, which, yep, I think is really good. It's just a new era. It's not, oh, we're going to keep everything tight to our chest, because there's enough work out there for everyone.
Yes.
Even if somebody else came in, I would want to help them. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? We can all do this. And like I said, we all have our own specialties, and people hire, I feel like, around here for the person. Mm-hmm. If they're not going with cheapest price, they're going somebody they can relate to, can trust.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And those are the customers, those relationships that you build, those are the ones that last forever. That you know, if you have a good relationship with a customer, you don't have to worry about the door knockers every spring of every other new company that's popping up looking for work and stuff like that. Those customers will not abandon you when you're going for that type of a client. That's awesome. So if other females that are looking to get into the industry and feel or are in the industry, and that's like their biggest challenge as well, what advice would you give to them in terms of like, they need to go to the dealer and make a big purchase or something? What advice would you give them?
So what I did was I researched. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about anything. Just going to be honest.
Yep.
And I researched a lot. And then I found just going to multiple dealers, I gained the confidence and understood more about the machines and could kind of detect if they were, just throwing garbage at me,
mm-hmm.
In the sense of like lying to me.
Yep.
And then I just followed my gut, and I'm glad I have the dealer I have. I go to him for everything, even to buy little pieces of equipment, and it's great because
mm-hmm.
I know he has my back, and he'll, if something's wrong, he'll fix it.
Yeah That's awesome. Knowledge I think is the key, right? That's gonna bring down those walls pretty quick and really help you with your confidence. I always tell people, when I started out lawn care, I started out in buying like into a franchise system. And one of the things they offered was when you started out, they would pay for half of a course called the residential landscape course at a local college if you were interested in doing that. And I did it, and I learned a lot of basics about landscapes and plants and pruning and all that sort of stuff. And that knowledge is what gave me confidence to talk to clients because you could talk about plants, right? So I would assume and imagine it's obviously the same. Like you said, you did a ton of research and stuff. And, when they're talking to you about a piece of equipment, you already know that. And that can tear down those walls pretty quick when you start asking questions are serious questions about, maybe engines or types of, hydraulic systems or whatever the case may be, or what features and things it has, then they know, okay, she knows what she's talking about, sort of thing. And I can see how that would definitely, be able to raise your confidence in that situation. The funny thing is, and I'm sure it happens more to women, as you're saying, but I've had situations as well. I remember years ago with a friend, we were going around used car lots looking for cars. And it was just me and my buddy, and we were looking at a car, and we popped the hood on this car. I can't even remember what kind of a car it was or something. And I think it had like a fake hood scoop or something on it, on the thing. And we kind of jokingly laughed and mentioned it to the salesman. And because we could just totally tell that this guy had no idea what he was talking about and was trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And we're like we know these cars, top to bottom, basically, right? And he was trying to insist that the hood scoop on the car was because the particular vehicle was turbocharged and stuff like that. And we're like, is this guy on, what's this guy smoking? Like, is he really trying to pull the wool over our eyes? Like, is he serious sort of thing? So we were just having fun with it and stuff. So it happens a lot of times, it can be that bias between, like you're mentioning, a male to a female, but it can also be sometimes just the salesman not having a clue themselves, on certain things.
Oh,
and
definitely.
And having it that way. Interesting, that is your struggle, but it's awesome to see that, you're overcoming it.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. Most things are for me. If I'm being completely honest for myself, my biggest challenge is being, so introverted. I've always been introverted, and once a client knows me or even a person in general, then I'm an open book. I can talk to you and stuff, but it's that initial sort of meeting people and that sort of stuff that is always a challenge for me. So everybody is a work in progress. It is, there's not the perfect business owner or anything out there, right? It's all part of the journey. It's all learning those challenges and trying to get better at it each and every day. What would you say is your favorite thing about being self-employed?
Probably having to answer for myself. You can't really rely on anybody else. If there's a problem, it's you.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And then it's being able to fix it yourself. So being like, here's an error, let's fix it. I don't have to go through a bunch of other, like a boss to be like, oh, this came back. And if it was their error, they put it back on you, but you know, it wasn't your error.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like I just talked in a little bit of a circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely just like being able to fix the problem right off the start. Like if there's like a drainage issue or anything, being yeah. able to see it and being able to just pull the trigger right away instead of waiting for an answer.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Because most of my clients, I have the free rein. They don't really say, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of my clients are like, yeah, just do it because they trust me. We
yep.
built that relationship already.
Yeah.
Or I was referred to them by somebody they trust.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. That's huge. And that goes back to that relationship, you know, that know, like, and trust relationship. I talk about it all the time. It's how I've built my business with my clients. All my clients are all credit card on file. The only time, like if I were to think back at my current client list right now, the only time with any of my clients that I've ever given them a price was on their initial quote when they first hired me. And some of them I've had for many years now, and they don't ever ask me for a price for anything. It's just, hey, can you do this? Can you take care of that? And, you know, just do it sort of thing, right? And that's it. That's as far as the discussion goes. They find out how much it costs when they get their bill because they know there's that trust. They know I'm not going to rip them off, that I'm going to treat them fairly and that. So, yeah, that's awesome to hear that you're in that similar type of a situation with your clients, especially for being only into your business for 3 seasons now. That's amazing to have that built up. It took me many years to get to that point.
I think I just built the relationship and picked my clients the way I would want to be treated and mm-hmm. who I wanted to work with. If I got a bad vibe, I learned off the first one, like my first year, if I got a bad vibe, just listen to it and don't pick them up as a client.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worth your time. They're not worth your hassle because you'll end up spending more money and time on them than what they're worth.
Mm-hmm. I think that says... obviously a lot about you, but also says, I think it's part of the type of work that you're doing. You know, you're getting into those garden installs and that stuff, versus say, if you are strictly just doing lawn care and stuff, I think it's more, people fall more into that trap with the lawn care because it's such a low barrier, you know, entry. People just want their lawn cuts and stuff. So it's easy to take on those clients of those yards that aren't the greatest. You know, those, lumpy lawns or ones that are full of weeds and stuff. And you're like, oh, whatever, it's just a cut each week and stuff. And those aren't, you know, a lot of times necessarily going to be the ideal client, for that business because they might not want those extra aerations and all that sort of stuff when we're talking about lawn care. Whereas over the years, I guess that's how, for me, it sort of developed into those better relationships was because then I started to get more choosy about the types of lawns I was looking after. So that leads me to with the fact that you're doing like installs and the maintenance and stuff on just gardens. How do you market your business? And what would you say is your number one marketing tip for people?
Word of mouth, I find, is the best. You get the better clientele from there, but mm-hmm. I do about 4 times a year. I do Facebook and Instagram target marketing.
Okay.
I get the best return. Facebook, I get my older clientele. Instagram, I get, like, if there's a property manager on a bigger site, they see it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I started out doing door hangers my first year.
Yeah.
And it was a low return.
Yeah.
But I find like just doing Facebook and Instagram, it's quick, it's easy. I target, I pay for what I get back, basically, how many clicks and everything. So it's nice that way. Mm-hmm. But definitely word of mouth is the best.
Okay. So obviously, you know, the word of mouth one is one that is sort of a reoccurring theme here on the podcast from people. And it obviously makes sense because, you know, if you're doing really high quality work, which it sounds like you are, and you know other people are seeing that, it's going to attract that same type of client to that, and you know they're going to ask those people, whether they're friends or associates, who they have doing it, and you know they already have an idea of what it's going to cost, and you know the level of quality of it with a referral from an existing client. So it makes sense that that would transition into those types of clients. With the Facebook marketing and Instagram, how was that when you first started? Was there a bit of a learning curve? Because it sounds like you said you're paying for ads and getting return and stuff on it. How did you go about getting into that and learning about, you know, the best way? Was it just throwing stuff at it and trying, or did you do research or watch, you know, YouTube videos or whatever the case may be to figure out how to do that type of marketing?
Actually, going to school, I had a lot of electives in business and marketing.
Oh, okay.
So I got help that way and took all my information from there, how to market correctly, what titles you should use and everything. And then it also helped that my husband, he went to school for mass communication in journalism originally.
Okay.
So I got some tips on him how like the best wording to put things in. But it was, I found out quickly who comes from which social media.
Okay.
To me, and how to weed them out that way. whether or not they were just tire kickers or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you kind of can tell right off the bat, like in lawns, who wants the cheapest price,
yep.
Who doesn't want all the extra add-ons.
Which, yeah.
The lumpy lawns that can take you a lot longer when you have big holes that you have to go back and trim in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with lawns, it's pretty easy when clients are doing that. And they're like, you know, when they're hesitant about you coming out to take a look at their lawn to give them a price first. And they're like, oh, just, you know, what's a ballpark? You know, it's like, no. There's no ballpark. Every lawn is different. Everything, you know, I have to actually look at it to be able to give you a price of what it's going to cost to do. What do you most like about that type of marketing on like Instagram and Facebook? I haven't, and I'm just kind of curious because I've never used it myself, but I, because, you know, I've been in my business for many years now and have a pretty established client list with really tight root density and stuff. So it all, so it all works for me. In fact, like I went to go do an oil change yesterday in my, in the work truck, getting it ready, and realized that, for all of 2022, I put all of about 6,000 kilometers on the work truck, which shows my root density, right? It's like super tight. The truck is barely, being driven. I'm curious about the marketing and stuff because I've heard that it's very powerful. Like you can really hone in on the types of people that the ads go to.
Yeah. So you can target certain areas. So I send out different like target ads to if they're in town, what in town people usually like. Because where I live, we have a lot of cottagers. And when I say cottagers, I mean like $1 million houses on the lake. Mm-hmm. So they're a little different to target market than are my elderly women that I help take care of, that I see as like, I want to help you so you can keep living on your own. But I find I can see if they click, who pauses on it basically. And then when they call or they text, because I got a lot of clients that text, which is kind of nice,
mm-hmm.
where they saw me. And I see it as brand recognition. So
okay.
even if I'm full, I still do it. Do you see my logo? So I never have to go looking for work. Say if I lose a client, they move or something. Mm-hmm. I have a list of people, and I do take most of my calls, and I say if there's a spot available, I will call you back. So I have a list of people that if I need to put in, or if I go into that area now, because again, I like to keep people close together. Yeah. I do go around Muskoka, which is big, but there's certain roads that I like to stay on, to certain like subdivisions. Mm-hmm. Just because I find those are like the people that work for my business.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome to see that you've done that, and you have sort of that waiting list in the wings. It really, you know, especially if clients are seeing that work, that quality of work, and then they're told that there's no room right now. You got to get on the waiting list, sort of thing, right? And I'll call you if a spot opens up. It just creates that scarcity as well, and just shows that you know, your services are in demand. With me, I'm similar with the lawns. Whereas you know, I've had people, you know, cancel at times, and the spot is filled, you know, almost immediately. After that, because of the same thing, and I've turned down people, and have had clients call me that want the services year after year, and I'm like, you know, turning them down and stuff, and they're just every season they call me like, will you consider it this year? Will you consider it? And I've had clients at the end of lawn care seasons come up to me and say, we're hoping that you'll take us on again next year, and it's like. And I'm just thinking in my head, like, this is crazy. Like, they're asking me if I'll take them on again. Like, it's just so weird. But when you, I guess you have that the quality of work that you're putting out, that demand is built. So, yeah, it's awesome to see that you're thinking so far ahead of that, and still advertising, and still, you know, keeping and maintaining a list to fill in those spots as required. That's very cool. So, here on the west coast of Canada, the season for mowing is—it's not year-round. So whenever I meet somebody for the first time, one of the questions that you know, they ask me what I do for a living, or if it's a new customer, or whatever the case may be, they're always so you know, what do you do in the winter time? So is there a winter or off season in your business? And if so, what do you do in the winter?
During the winter, I do snow removal. I only do residential driveways. It keeps my insurance costs down, because insurance for snow, is crazy, and it's only gotten crazier and crazier each year, which everybody has been talking about, because now the insurance, is priced out for how much you bring in when you're making what you're making with snow.
Yeah.
So it's all, and it's trying to find that sweet spot where you're not working just to pay for insurance.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. The snow insurance is just it's absurd at what they're going for that. It's crazy. Like you said, you have to do. I've talked to lots of people here similarly, and it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you have to work so much just to pay for the premiums of the insurance. It's almost not worth it at times to do. So with go ahead.
So it has a lot of people in my area thinking about not doing snow anymore. We've had two big companies drop out this year, and they covered a lot of commercial properties, and they just quit because insurance prices were insane, that it wasn't worth it to have their guys stay employed during the winter for that.
Yeah. It's like I say, it's pretty much insanity across the whole industry, I think.
Right?
It makes no sense. What would you say are your future plans or goals for your business?
Future plans and goals. Keep building on what I have. Start building the list enough that when I'm ready to, I can bring on employees. Again, like I said, I would prefer to bring on 5 at a time, or at least one person to start, just so I can train them the way I would like a business to be run, so they could be my right-hand man. And so I don't have to necessarily be on the property. I want to build it enough that it basically runs itself. That way, if I don't if I'm not there, I know things are running smoothly. I don't have to go back out and check to be like, you guys missed a spot. You pulled a plant, not a weed. Mm-hmm. How to cut certain hydrangeas, certain plants when they get deadheaded. It's just about building it to a point where it basically could run itself if I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I might be young now, but I'm only getting older. And bodies do break down.
Yeah.
So I want something, I want something running by itself. Again, I have two little ones. So if they eventually grow up and they're high school students and they want to start working for me, running it themselves and eventually turn that in, that'd be amazing. But like me, when I was younger, I did not want to do anything my family wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So just having it, being able to have it run by itself, it's like, we don't have a retirement plan unless you're investing or paying into a separate one.
Yeah.
So this is a retirement plan.
Yeah, yeah.
To have it run on its own.
Okay. Very cool. I hear you on a lot of those points there. I think most days my brain tells me I'm 20, but my body's telling me to retire. So it's like, yeah, you're done. It's I can't do what I used to be able to do. When I think about, especially like pushing an aerator around, when I think about how many lawns I could do when I first started in this business, it was insanity. Like I could do 20, 22 lawns easily in a day. And now it's like, man, I'm hurting after 6 to 8, it's like, that's it, I'm done sort of thing. It's time waits for nobody, and your body does start to break down, like you said. So it's great that you've got that sort of forward thinking happening. So if you were to start your business all over again, what is one thing that you would do differently?
That's a good question. To do differently, again, probably listen to my gut.
Okay.
Again, one person I didn't get a good feeling about, and it ended up costing me more money than I was making. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I cut that off. I just went to them and said, this is not working. They just had, nothing was ever right. Very overbearing in a sense of like, anything could be a little off place, even if it wasn't. And then they would call all the time and find reasons, which I looked into myself to see if I was doing something wrong, and mm-hmm. I couldn't figure it out. Just listen to your gut and just pick people that kind of go with you, mm-hmm. because you're always going to find those people that are, nothing's ever right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things I've talked about in the past as well. There's, occasionally times you'll get a client or something, and, there's been a couple of times in my history of doing lawn care where things will go bad with that client for whatever reason, whether it's, I don't know if it's communication or whatever the case may be. And you always, like you said, you got to look at yourself and say, is there something that I've done? And, I'll tell people, but it doesn't make sense. I'm not treating this person or doing the service any differently that I'm doing all these other clients, yet all of these other clients are super happy, and they literally will come out week to week and tell me how happy they are that I'm working on their lawns and doing all this stuff, and that they're so happy with the service and stuff. Like, I don't say that to that I'm like exaggerating, like it literally happens. I have clients that come out every week and are just so happy with the service stuff. So it's like, I'm not doing anything different with this guy's property, yet he's always miserable. He's always looking for something to pick on or whatever, right? So yeah, it's good to do that sort of self-reflection and kind of think about that, and then go, yeah, you know what, it's sometimes it's just the client. And it's you start to, like I say, be able to pick up on those cues as you go forward and try to avoid those types of clients going forward. A lot of times it's, for me, it'll be like doing a quote, and you're talking to a client, and they might have, questions about their lawn and what you're going to do, and, issues and stuff. And, you explain it to them, and then, maybe they call you up and then they've got more questions, but then they're asking the exact same questions that you spent all this time explaining to them. And then you start to see this pattern of like, oh man, like they're always going to be bugging me about the same stuff. Like I, how many times do you want me to answer the exact same questions over and over, over again? So there's little cues that you can pick up on. So it sounds like you're starting to figure that out pretty quickly. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and like even the clients that ask a bunch of questions that aren't your clients, I've also been doing thinking of going into like more of like a consultation fee, because I do free estimates and quotes, but sometimes I talk to people because you're telling them you have all this knowledge, but the people that keep coming back, that's one thing I think I might add is a consultation where like some people just want like a design, or they just want to know certain things about their plants, certain bugs that come in, or how to cut them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I've heard a lot of people doing that as well, charging for that initial fee. And, you know, they'll take it off if the customer hires them and you know, take it off the service or whatever. But if they don't, then, you know, at least you're getting compensated for the time that you spent talking to them in depth about whatever it is that they need. What would you say is your biggest frustration about your business?
Not enough time in the day. Probably all the paperwork. So during busy season, you get going. You're collecting all your receipts. You're sending off all the paperwork and that. And yes, I could hire somebody out, but it's also then I'd have to send them all the information too. I haven't found a good streamline for that. But yeah, the paperwork behind it. So yeah, you just worked a 12-hour day sometimes in the summer, and then you come home and you're like, I got paperwork to do. Mm-hmm. And then I got two little ones. Mm-hmm. They're like, put me to bed.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to find that balance.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, it can be tough. People don't realize it looks, especially with like lawn care and stuff and gardening, it can be deceiving to people. It looks easy to do, because of that low barrier of entry to the industry. But they don't realize that it's full time, especially when you're, a solo operator, you're wearing every different hat in the operation, from that marketing and researching how to do that, to doing the quotes, to doing the paperwork, to doing the actual work. It can be overwhelming at times, and still balancing that with your home life and family life and little ones and stuff like that. So down to the last two questions for you. So this next one is one of my favorites as well. And that is, what's your best piece of advice with those just starting out in the business? But I want you to come at this from the point of view that the person asking you is somebody that you know and that you like and that you would only want to see the best for. So maybe it's a family, a friend, or a neighbor or something like that, or a neighbor's kid or whatever the case may be. And they're like, Krista, I'm thinking about starting a lawn or landscaping or lawn care business. What's your best piece of advice for me? What would you say?
Well, if I know the person and I know they can do it, which most people, if they came to me, they probably could. I would just say, just start. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, if you wait till you're perfect at doing it, you'll never start. Mm-hmm. And then I would also let them know I'm here to help. And also I can point them in certain directions of people I know, and any extra jobs too, I can throw their way. 'Cause like I said, there's lots of work out there. It's just finding what works for you. And if I know them, I want to help them. I want them to succeed. It doesn't matter to me. Like, they're not taking my business away. And if they were better than me, they're better than me.
Let's
just build so I can gain their knowledge. They can gain mine, and we'll work together in that aspect.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I always say the same thing. Like, I gave the example of how many kilometers I drive in the truck, to illustrate how dense my routes are. And even then, in that small area that I work in and that I've, built up over the years of kind of honing in on, there's still way too many houses that I could ever mow you know, on my own, you know, so it's like there's plenty of room for many companies in that tight little area to be able to do. So, yeah, it's interesting that you have sort of that same philosophy there and great advice to somebody just starting out. So last question, and it's a super easy one, and that is how can people follow you online?
Pretty much all my handles are at Miss Muskoka Landscapes, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm mostly on Instagram and everything passes on to Facebook. I did drop a TikTok. Found it was more time consuming and it didn't get a lot of return.
Yep.
So it wasn't worth it. So now I stick to mostly Instagram.
Oh, there's another thing we have in common. I think I did TikTok for a couple weeks and I was like, yeah, no.
I did it through the pandemic and everything, and I kept going, and then I was like, you know what, I'm spending more time on this app than doing other things that get me more back. And it's all about managing your time.
Yes, absolutely,
because it is it's addicting.
Yes, absolutely. It puts you down the rabbit hole so quick. And yeah. my kids are both in university now, you know, they're always on TikTok. It seems like the most predominant app that they're on now. And I always joke to them, you know why they called it TikTok, right? And they're like, why? And I said, because it's to illustrate or remind you how much time you're wasting. You know, it's just like, it's so crazy how addicting it is. And I just got rid of that one. I got rid of Snapchat and stuff. I was just like, nope, get all this stuff. It's just all distractions and stuff. Just focus on one or two for the business and that's it. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time out to share your story on the podcast. I really appreciate it. So much value you shared there for people starting out in the business and coming at it from a completely unique point of view with the type of business that you're focused on. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me on.
That's awesome. All right. Bye-bye. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Krista Irving from Miss Muskoka Landscapes. I'll leave some links in the podcast show notes to her Facebook and her Instagram account. Make sure you go and follow her there and check out some of the work that she's doing. She also has some funny little reels that she does there on Instagram as well. Seems to be an ongoing theme with her relationship between her and coffee. So go check that out. It's pretty funny at times. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.